Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I'm Kathy with a C.
And I'm Kathy with a K.
And this is Killer Destinations. Today's destination is Strongsville, Ohio. Strongsville is a suburb about 15 miles south of Cleveland with almost 50,000 residents. While it has a significantly lower crime rate compared to the national average, crime rates are just numbers. And in 2022, an unbelievable crime occurred that resulted in the deaths of two young men who were on the cusp of starting their adult lives.
Just before 6:30 a.m. on July 31st, 2022, a 911 call came into the Strongsville Police Department reporting that there had been a horrific crash in an industrial park. When responding officers arrived, they saw a scene straight out of a nightmare. A black Toyota Camry had crashed into the corner of a brick building, and it appeared that the car had been cut straight down the middle. The first officer on scene was Strongsville Police Officer Michael Galassi. He ran over to the driver's side of the car, Kath, and when he pulled open the door, he saw all the airbags, of course, had gone off. And he saw the legs and lower torso of what appeared to be a woman, but her back and head were underneath the dashboard on the passenger side, and it had caved in on top of her. Officer Galassi then ran around to the other side, and he pulled open the back door where the backseat passenger would have been. And this was a young male, and Kath, he clearly had not been wearing a seatbelt because he had moved around in the car. The young male's body was on top of the front seat passenger, and his face was directed up at the ceiling. So Officer Galassi then went to the front passenger seat and pulled open the door. The front passenger seat actually had been reclined all the way back. Either it had started that way or as a result of the accident, it had occurred. But it was also a young man, and the backseat passenger was on top of him. Both of these young men had significant head trauma. And Officer Galassi believed that all three of these individuals in the car were deceased at the scene. Additional officers from the Strongsville Police Department arrived on scene, along with EMTs from the Strongsville Fire Department. And as the new officers began cutting through the car, getting rid of the airbags that had gone off and cutting through them and trying to open the doors that were kind of wedged and hard to open, as they started pulling them apart, they started at the driver's side. And when they cut the side window airbag off, they heard a moan from this young lady. And they said, "Can you hear me? Are you awake? Can you hear me?" And she mumbled something like, "Yes." And they said, "What is your name?" And she responded, "Mackenzie Shirilla." As she was taken out of the car, they noted that she had significant injuries to her leg and her arm. One of the first things she said was, "How is Davion?" The front seat passenger was 20-year-old Dominic Russo. It was later determined that the backseat passenger was 19-year-old Davion Flanagan. Emergency personnel called for two emergency air ambulances because it was also determined, Kathy, that Davion was still breathing. So Mackenzie was sent in the helicopter to the nearest hospital, but unfortunately, before the second helicopter arrived, he was pronounced dead at the scene. And Kath, it was actually determined that Mackenzie was wearing her seatbelt. Dominic and Davion were not, obviously, based on the way their bodies were when they found them in the car after the crash. Mackenzie had suffered from a broken femur, which I can't imagine that.
That is so painful.
A broken humerus, which is this upper arm bone from the shoulder to the elbow for people who don't know.
And not funny. But I'm true. Go ahead.
And several broken ribs.
According to an episode of Investigation Discovery, Mackenzie and her front seat passenger Dominic had been dating for, I believe, 4 years. They met when she was 13 and he was 16. And Dominic was from a wealthy family, and his parents owned two houses which were right next to each other By the start of her senior year, they were living together in the house. And at the time of the car crash, Mackenzie was 17. She turned 18 2 days later while she was recuperating in the hospital. So this girl is young and
had just graduated from high school.
What a mess. I can't imagine waking up in the hospital knowing that my boyfriend and his friend were dead and here I am wrecked. According to Dominic's sister, Christine, Dominic was very goal-oriented. He liked investing in stocks. He had started a clothing line and he was very creative. He wanted to be a singer. He enjoyed writing songs. There were a lot of people, aside from his sister, who said very nice things about him. And Mackenzie wanted to be an influencer. So she was very much into social media. She was always posting on TikTok and Instagram, very much into fashion, constantly documenting what she was wearing and who she was with, you know, that kind of thing.
Every little thing, as most 17-year-olds do.
And Davion was an excellent athlete. He was the starting running back for the Strongsville High School Mustangs. And he and his two younger siblings had been adopted when Davion was 8. And from all accounts, they had a great family and he was close to his mom and dad and sisters.
And was just a nice kid.
Exactly.
Like he understood what it was like to kind of need for affection.
One of the quotes that was attributed to him, I shouldn't say a quote, but it was like, Davion wanted to treat people the way he wanted to be treated.
Exactly. And you know, Kathy, the other thing I saw in this Investigation Discovery clip is once Mackenzie started high school, you know, we said she wanted to be an influencer and she really wanted to be the it girl of the school. And again, like you want to be an influencer, you want everybody to pay attention to you. And she did that at school. So she had her girl crew who went everywhere with her, followed her in the hallways, went into the bathroom with her and whatnot. You know, she'd always show up with new Prada bags and new shoes and, you know, just really wanted to take that influencer image into her personal life so that she was just reflecting how she was.
And I think that the way she was in school and the way she behaved in her social media gave people reason to be envious, I think. And one of the people that was interviewed in this Investigation Discoveries thing said she dressed like she wanted to be a stripper or something like that.
Yeah. One of her friends said when she started high school, she started dressing like she wanted to apply for a job at a strip club. And I'm like, I don't think you call that a friend.
Friend. No, yeah,
maybe
exactly.
A frenemy?
Maybe a frenemy. Yeah. So as Cass said, this crash happened in the early morning hours of a Sunday. So when investigators started looking into this, they thought the obvious. They're young people. They just graduated from high school. They were partying too much. And this is a horrific DUI. But at the hospital, blood was taken from Mackenzie. And they were surprised to learn that not only was she not drunk, she had no alcohol in her system at all.
Stone cold sober.
Exactly. However, at the crash scene, officers collected 8 grams of mushrooms, a scale, a bong, and a baggie of marijuana. And so the blood test did show that Mackenzie had THC in her system, which was consistent with, you know, what friends knew about her, which was that she was a chronic user.
Exactly.
So detectives started their investigation, like all detectives start investigations these days, by looking for footage. And this was not in a residential area. As you said earlier, it was in an industrial park. And they were able to find video from several of the businesses nearby. And the first video they looked at, you were able to see the crash perfectly. It was taken from the vantage point behind the car, so you were able to see the car just go straight into the building. And detectives were shocked at the high rate of speed. So detectives also saw other footage, and at just after 5:30 in the morning, they saw her making a right turn onto a street to enter the industrial park. They could see Mackenzie's black Camry driving in a very controlled manner. She put her blinker on, made a right turn into the lane closest to the curb, and she was driving at an appropriate rate of speed. You know, so like something happened after that.
What happened between them? Yeah.
Exactly. But in all of these videos leading up to this horrific crash, what caught the detective's attention the most was the fact that Mackenzie never applied the brakes. And that's shocking.
Well, yeah, because after we said she had made this very controlled right turn, really the next camera angle they have of her, her car was going so fast it was a blur.
Exactly.
And then as it drove toward the corner of the building, no brake lights went on. The other thing that was interesting about this, Kathy, with the video cameras is that we had said when the 911 call came in, it was from somebody who had driven by this building in the industrial park, and it was a little bit before 6:30 in the morning. They didn't know when the crash actually occurred. The person who called it in didn't see it happen. They came across the wreckage. But by using these videotapes, they were able to pinpoint that the crash had happened about 45 minutes before anybody happened on the scene. So could the kids have been saved?
Yeah.
You just don't know.
Because of Mackenzie's speed and her failure to brake, investigators wondered, was this really just an accident? So they hired a forensic mechanic who examined the vehicle.
And he was apparently renowned in the state of Ohio for his work on this. Everybody was like, yeah, that's the guy to get.
He determined that the brake system and the accelerating capabilities and decelerating capabilities of the vehicle were in good working order. There was nothing wrong with the car's vital systems that could have led to an accidental crash.
Now, with the suspicion that this might not have been an accidental crash, detectives start looking into Mackenzie and Dominic's relationship, and they were surprised by what they learned. It was first pointed out to detectives that while Mackenzie was in the hospital recovering from her injuries, she was posting all the details about the crash, her hospital stay, her injuries, her recovery on social media. She was talking about what happened, talking about her injuries, and we had said that she wanted to be an influencer. Mackenzie was all about trying to increase her social media, which we know how that feels, right?
Right.
At the crash time, she had about 2,700 followers on Instagram, but they said that with all of this documentation, after the crash, it just blew up. I don't know if that means 50,000. I don't know if it means a million.
Who knows?
Yeah, who knows? But she was on social media several times a day, rehashing the crash and her injuries. Before this all happened, when she was in high school, her senior year, she had started getting offers from different agencies to like, here, wear our merchandise and post it. But while she was in the hospital, and she was only in the hospital for a couple days, she wasn't there for several weeks. So just a couple days after the crash, she got an email from a modeling agency who said, hey, we've seen your Instagram. You're beautiful. We want to work with you. Are you up for it? And Mackenzie's response was, thank you for the comment. I would love to work with you guys. I've been emailing you guys a lot! ! Such a great opportunity. Thank you. But Dominic's and Davion's families were stunned. They hadn't even buried their children yet.
I would have been beside myself.
I'm sure they were. But especially because they had been dating for a really long time and Mackenzie was considered to be part of the family. And now she's kind of throwing that all by the wayside for a modeling agency.
And also it's like, you know, she wants to be an influencer, but at some point, like, where's your EQ?
Well, and that's just, I was going to say,
where's your tact?
She doesn't have executive function yet, and she clearly does not have any understanding of empathy.
I can't imagine, though, like, honestly, hanging around somebody who's constantly posting.
But we didn't grow up in that generation.
I know. I would have been kicked out.
Thank goodness.
I would have been kicked out.
Well, as it was, even though she didn't go to my high school, Kathy did get kicked out of a dance at my high school. And the vice principal remembered her two decades later. How long ago was it?
Fast forward, I don't even know how many decades later. And my daughter is now going to the school. And the vice principal, did we tell this story before?
I don't think so.
Oh my God, I should tell
this. Certainly not on YouTube.
It's so horrible. It's so horrible, but I'm going to tell it. I think I was a junior. And
let's be clear. This is an all-girls Catholic school.
Right.
At the time, I think there were 400 kids there.
Yeah.
So like 100 kids in each class, 100 girls in each class.
Yeah. Kathy, and I went to a bigger school. It was a Catholic co-ed school. Right. We go to this dance and it was the first dance. It was Sadie Hawkins. It was the first time the students, the girls, were allowed to just go single. Like they were allowed to just...
You didn't have to have a date.
Exactly. Which,
do you also remember that same dance I went with your brother?
Yes.
Yeah.
This was a dance. It was a Sadie. So it was the girl asked the boy. Okay.
And Kathy's brother and I hung out. We were thick as thieves. So.
Exactly. And so I went with Kathy's sister and like four other girls. Like we were just this fool posse. And they had this thing there where you could put your name on a marriage certificate. And so you could get in line and you could have a fake marriage. Okay, this is so funny to me. So I get in line. Now, I don't have a date, but there was a boy at my school that I had a crush on at the time. They gave you like fake plastic rings. Yes. It was this ridiculous little wedding ceremony. Anyway, so I go there by myself. And they're like, well, where's your husband? Like, ha, 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 ha. I was like, oh, he couldn't make it. But this is his name, and I want a marriage certificate. And so I give the name of this guy, and they're like, well, he has to be here. Now, I'm 17. I'm looking at other 17-year-olds. It's like, dude, are you serious? Like, you're going to make me comply with the rules?
Of course.
Give me the marriage certificate.
It's an all-girls Catholic school. Come on.
Give me the marriage certificate with his name on it. And so they wouldn't do it. And I was like, are you kidding me? I was so angry. I was like, I'm not moving. They're like, and people behind me in line are like, get out of the way. I go, no, I'm not moving. Give me a marriage certificate. Put the guy's name
on
it.
You don't even go to the school.
Yeah, and I will walk away. Okay. And so everyone's screaming at me. And I'm like, no, I was totally going to die on this hill because mm-hmm. I thought it was so stupid, this dumb rule.
And she didn't go to school there, so she couldn't get in trouble.
Yeah. And I kept saying, you realize this isn't a real marriage certificate, right? Anyway,
yeah,
so whatever.
Yeah, she was like this back then.
So up comes the then vice principal. Again, she's a nun, but she's not in nun clothing.
She's a sister.
Doesn't have a habit on, doesn't have the dress. Okay.
But we all know who she is, of course, those of us who go to school there.
Yeah.
Because so, she's very intimidating.
Yeah. So now Kathy's sister is trying to pull me away because she sees what's happening and she sees I'm super mad and I'm going to die on this hill.
She sees Sister Janet.
Like, she sees that I want to steal the marriage certificate, all these, like, you know, whatever. She sees what's happening. So sister comes up and she's like, hello. And I was like, she's like, you're going to have to move. Okay. So
and Kathy's like, what up, sis?
Yeah. I just let this lady have it. And I was like, this is so stupid. And I was using some choice words. I'm like, this is, I can't believe this is so dumb. This isn't real.
Isn't your personality, which is so funny. Like, you don't do that.
Well, I mean, I don't die on stupid rules.
Exactly. But, that's what I mean.
But I'm usually like not as abrasive as I was that evening.
Or as intoxicated.
So I'm not going to say that. Yeah. Anyway, so this...
I'll say it for her.
This sister was, you know, very gently and politely explaining things, and I was very rudely telling
and
her...
loudly.
...that I wasn't leaving without a marriage certificate.
Where she could stick it.
So finally... Kathy's sister drags me away, and it's like in a movie where somebody gets like the hook and pulls you off stage. That was me. Anyway, we got kicked out of the dance, wound up sneaking back in, so it was all fine. And then I
fast forward a couple decades.
I bring my daughter there for enrollment, and who is there?
Sister Janet.
I was like, I'm really sorry.
So leaving high school to the story.
Leaving it behind where it belongs.
Exactly. And by the way, Sister Janet actually was my principal. She went from being dean to principal. And then I actually served on the board of the high school when I got back. And she is a lovely woman.
She is so lovely. She's so lovely.
But still tough as nails. I mean, just like that. You cannot take the nun out of the woman.
Dude, I was lucky I didn't get a smackdown that night.
You are lucky.
Yeah. And my mom.
You're lucky you were able to come back.
If I would have been like, hey, a nun kicked my butt, she would have been like, get over here. I'm going to smack you
but
around some more.
You know, my mom would have defended you.
She probably would have.
She totally would have.
Your mother was an enabler. Yeah.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at minkycouture.com.
Going back to the story at hand, after this posting with the modeling agency, it just continued and got worse. When Mackenzie got out of the hospital, one of the very first things she did is she went to a concert. And she basically live streamed herself from the concert. She was in a wheelchair, but she had this like cute little outfit on and had the camera on her the entire time. So of course, the family saw this too. And then a month or so after the concert, Mackenzie posted a video on her social media channels that was just her looking into the camera. And she said, you know, I'm not cool. I'm just one of those girls who can do a lot of drugs and not die, which was inappropriate and random. But then the worst post happened on Halloween. So this is just 3 months after Davion and Dominic were killed. The video showed Mackenzie and two of her besties from her girl squad in a hotel room in black, like cute little dresses, dancing and being all silly. And then it automatically went off and jumped to them now dressed in little black dresses that were kind of like bandage wrapping type
like
thing.
Torn leggings.
Right. That had them all face painted to look like corpses.
Yeah.
And talk about no executive function or ability to realize that this is a bad look on you.
Yeah.
And once again, like Dominic's and Davion's parents, they couldn't understand.
Tone deaf.
And an abhorrent lack of empathy. But while Mackenzie was having fun partying with her friends, Dominic's and Davion's family, they actually started sharing information they'd uncovered with the police. So Dominic's parents told detectives that they knew that there had been a huge rift in Dominic and Mackenzie's relationship in spring of 2022, so just a couple of months before the crash. After Dominic was killed, a friend of Dominic's had sent Dominic's mom three videos that Dominic had taken on this friend's cell phone. Apparently, this friend had been at Dominic's house hanging out and had left his phone. But what Dominic did is he used the friend's phone to record an encounter or several encounters he had with Mackenzie because they actually were fighting a lot. And what Dominic's parents learned is that in the weeks leading up to the crash, Mackenzie was in rare form. Most of the videos showed her kind of attacking Dominic verbally. One of them was Mackenzie was outside trying to get in the house. The door was locked. Dominic would not open it for her. And so she kept calling him names. She kept threatening him. Apparently, one of her favorites was to call him a little bitch. But she was like, you could hear the anger in her voice. Like, she wasn't kidding around. And so she was knocking on the door at one point and she's like, you let me in. And he said, you know, you're angry. No, why do you want me to let, I don't want you to come in, whatever. And she's like, you don't let me in and you're going to regret doing it. I'm going to give you 2 seconds to open this door or I'm going to unleash trouble on you. And he was like, what kind of trouble? And she was like, you little bitch, like blah, 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 blah. Dominic's parents were stunned. Obviously, they had never seen this side of her.
I wonder if he used his friend's phone to record it because she went through his phone.
That was exactly my thought, that it was safer that way. She couldn't go in. Well, and especially after his death, not that he could have foreseen that, but it made it even safer because if she'd have had a chance to go through his phone, you know, she would have deleted anything like that.
Totally.
And then, Kath, there was this other incident just 2 weeks before the crash that was oddly prescient about what was going to happen. Dominic's mom was at home with a friend of the family's. It was a man named Martin who was in his early 40s. And Dominic called the mom and said, Mom, I need you to come get me right away. I'm in the car with Mackenzie. We're on Interstate 71. And I think this might be turning into a really bad situation. Can you imagine being a mom getting that call?
No.
So apparently Martin said, you know what? I'm going to go get him. You stay here. I'll call him, find out where he is, and I'll go. So Martin gets in the car, he calls Dominic, and he's like, okay, let's figure out where you guys are, pull to the shoulder, you can get into my car. But while Martin was trying to figure out where they were, the line was still open. Martin heard Mackenzie say to Dominic, I'm going to wreck this car right now. Mackenzie pulls over to the shoulder. Before Dominic can open the car door to leave and get into Martin's car, Martin sees her hit him in the head several times with her hands. And I don't know, it didn't say fists. I'm assuming it was probably open hands, but still saw her hitting her boyfriend. Dominic got out of Mackenzie's car. Martin drove him back to his mom and dad's house, basically. And then Dominic's mom also told the police that in the 6 months leading up to the crash, she actually had noticed that Dominic and Mackenzie's relationship was really strained. They were always fighting. They were arguing. There were disagreements about stupid things, threats on Mackenzie's side, breakups and get back together type things. Dominic's brother, Angelo, also had a story where he said that Dominic and Mackenzie had actually broken up many times over the 4 years they'd been together. And in the 2 years prior to the crash, Dominic was talking to Angelo and saying, I just have to stop this for good. Like, it needs to end. I've got to end it. So detectives wondered, like, even with all this teenage angst and dating drama, because even though Dominic was 20, it still was.
It's total dating drama.
Who would actually drive themselves into a building at a high rate of speed? Even though Davion appeared to be, honestly, collateral damage, innocent bystander, was she not just trying to kill Dominic? Was she actually going to try and kill herself as well? But Kath, then detectives received information from Mackenzie's cell phone that spoke volumes about her intentions. Her phone location showed that it had been at the crash site 3 days prior to the actual crash itself. Now, obviously, they couldn't link Mackenzie to the phone at that time, but her phone was there. But remember, the site of this crash was an industrial park, so it wasn't near where Mackenzie lived, and she didn't work. So she wasn't going there to go to work or pick up a friend or do anything. To police, it looked like a dry run.
So detectives now believe that Mackenzie planned the crash and intended to kill all three of them. So initially, the deaths of Davion and Dominic were classified as an accident based upon the fact that the Strongsville Police Department were investigating this traffic incident. However, with all this new evidence, detectives went back to the medical examiner's office and was like, here's some things that you should consider. Tell us what you think. Based upon all of the additional information, the medical examiner amended his autopsy report for the victims and changed the cause of death from accident to homicide. And homicide is simply a killing at the hands of another. It doesn't necessarily mean murder. It's up to the district attorney and the jury to figure out how it's going to be classified or whether it's a crime at all, frankly. So Dominic died from lethal injuries to his head. And Davion died as a result of internal injuries to his torso and his abdomen. These types of injuries are obviously consistent with an accident, but they could be consistent with homicide. And the medical examiner determined that the evidence collected during the police investigation revealed that the driver's intention of inflicting self-harm and harm unto the passengers in her vehicle played a critical role in his amendment of the cause of death. So in 2023, a Cuyahoga County grand jury indicted Mackenzie Schirilla. She waived her right to a jury trial, which means it's the judge who hears the trial and makes all the decisions regarding the findings of fact and then imposes a sentence.
I think that was actually a really smart thing to do.
Oh, totally.
Because I can't imagine what some people would think, especially if you have older people on the jury who don't understand social media.
Or you have younger people on the jury who resent her.
Yeah.
You know, Kathy and I had a conversation about this before we started recording.
Yeah.
Like, why is it that I'm saying mean girl in a general sense, but like, why is it that the girls who are the ones who draw attention to themselves, the ones who aren't necessarily the nicest human beings, who have the girl posse, they're the ones who engender envy and jealousy among their peers? You know, like, it's the nice girls who have a lot of friends that everyone's like, oh, she's so nice, you know, da 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 da. Like, why are we envious and jealous of the mean girls? And Kathy raised a good point. It's because regular people look at them and think, why are they getting so much positive attention? And it's like you're scratching your head like,
And the smart girl or the athletic girl or what have you.
Right.
They just kind of fly under the radar.
Exactly.
Now that is until they get to be adults usually. Like once you hit college, there is kind of
like a balancing,
evening out.
Balancing because people aren't as lame.
Well, yeah. And you find your crowd. You realize after you get out of high school, and I'm not sure that we can talk about that on our level, but you're friends with a lot of these people just because you went to the same high school.
Yeah.
And then when you get out of high school, you're like, I have nothing in common with these people. And I might see them in the supermarket and duck out like Kathy does.
Right.
But but it is like you do. Like, why are all the popular girls the mean ones?
Right. Or like people that you... Oh, I had so much fun with her. We party this, party that. And then you get off to college and you're like, wow, like she was kind of a sociopath.
Exactly.
Or, you know what I mean? Like, huh.
I never had that thought.
She was only, you did. I'll remind you who it was after this is over.
Okay, I'll let you guys know next time because I don't know who that is.
So anyway, so the judge was going to be the one who was going to be making all the decisions. And remember, at the time this occurred, Mackenzie was 17.
Because she turned 18 2 days later, they were like, sister, you're going to adult court.
Right.
No way do you get juvenile court.
Right.
And they tried. They tried to keep it in juvenile court. And even the juvenile judge was like, no.
Right.
No. And this was big girl time.
Yeah, exactly. But judges, if you do not have jury appeal for whatever reason, or if you need someone to pay attention to a very strict application of facts and law rather than, you know, oh, I feel so feelings. Sorry for you, rather right. than feelings, then having a court trial, which means a judge-only trial, is a good move.
Right.
It's a good move. So Mackenzie's trial started a year after the crash. It lasted only 4 days and it ended on August 14th of 2023. So the judge in the case was Judge Nancy Russo, no relation to the victim Dominic. So Judge Nancy Russo found Mackenzie guilty on all counts, and there were 12 counts. So there were counts for felonious assault, aggravated vehicular homicide, drug possession, possession of criminal tools.
Which I never found out what that was.
I'm not sure what that is specifically.
It was not in the court record specifically.
Yeah. And so I don't know if that was a drug paraphernalia charge. I'm honestly not sure. And of course, the murders of Dominic and Davion. Judge Russo said that Mackenzie's actions were controlled, methodical, deliberate, intentional, and purposeful. This was not reckless driving. This was murder. The video clearly shows the purpose and intent of the defendant. She chose a path of death and destruction that day. So I am sure at her trial, they had to have cell experts talking about locations and pings and cell towers right. and all that kind of stuff. And Judge Russo pointed out that Mackenzie drove on purpose at around 5:30 a.m.
on a Sunday.
On a Sunday morning, exactly, an hour when no witnesses would be around, along a path she did not routinely use, but had visited just a few days before.
That's damning evidence.
Oh, totally.
Mackenzie's sentencing hearing was held 1 week after she was convicted. Judge Russo said that during the hearing, she was sparing Mackenzie consecutive sentences in the two deaths. Personally, I think that's absolute BS.
Yeah, meaning back-to-back life sentences.
Yeah, they need to be consecutive, not concurrent. That's
I know.
Ridiculous.
It's like it doesn't count. You know
right.
what I mean?
Like, you're only now paying for one death.
Yeah.
Don't like it. Mackenzie, who did not testify during trial, tearfully read a statement to the families apologizing for what happened. And what she said was, I hope one day you can see I would never let this happen or do it on purpose. I wish I could remember what happened. I'm just so sorry. I'm heartbroken. I wish I could take all your pain away. After Mackenzie's statement, Judge Russo then sentenced her to two sentences of life in prison with the possibility of parole after 15 years, again, being served concurrently. The maximum sentence that she could have given Mackenzie was actually life in prison with the possibility of parole after 34 years and chose to do the 15 instead. However, the judge did add that she did not believe that Mackenzie would get parole after 15 years and said that there was a very good likelihood that Mackenzie would spend the rest of her life in prison, depending on her conduct and, of course, the parole board's decision. I think she might have been alluding to the fact that Mackenzie probably doesn't make good life choices sometimes.
Sure, but I don't know how she's behaving.
She could change.
Person.
Absolutely.
Yeah, who knows?
But,
yeah.
but based on her past experience, it seems like she thought she was above the law.
Yeah, but
things didn't apply to her. But yeah,
prison has a
murder
way
conviction,
of like, you
yeah,
know,
no,
breaking
I
you.
Agree with that. In late September of 2024, Mackenzie's initial appeal was denied and her conviction was upheld. This was just 13 months after the trial.
And I think the basis of that appeal, I'm not 100% sure, but I think the basis was there was no evidence of intent. They can't hold me on a murder charge if there's no evidence of intent. Should have been a manslaughter, should have been involuntary, or whatever it was. But, you know, a murder conviction does require intent. But I think the pivotal fact, which was pointed out by Judge Russo, is the fact that her cell phone was there 3 days prior.
Absolutely.
You cannot get away from that fact.
No. And the fact that she'd threatened to kill him in a car crash before.
Right.
You know, like, clearly this is something that has run through her mind. A new appeal was filed by her new defense attorneys on April 3rd of this year. Part of it, of course, alleging that her prior defense did not adequately represent her. What's the phrase?
Ineffective assistance of counsel.
There you go. Thank you. The new defense counsel alleged that her attorney failed to present critical medical evidence that could have changed the outcome of the trial. And basically they said when the paramedics got there and were able to get her out of the car and got her to the hospital, she had low oxygen levels. She had high blood pressure. Clearly, this is indicative of some sort of seizure. So she wasn't awake at the time and she didn't know what was happening.
Immediately before the impact.
Exactly. This had actually come up before. At trial, one of the prosecution's witnesses said there is no way if she'd had a medical event that she would have been pushing down on that accelerator, which it hit close to 100 miles an hour. If there'd been an event before this happened, her foot would have gone off the accelerator. So at least it would have slowed down.
Like a medical emergency.
Right, before. Exactly. Like a stroke or a seizure or something like that. She wouldn't have had the muscle power to keep pushing down on the accelerator like she'd have to. The new defense appeal is now saying that they brought in a neurologist who said that Mackenzie's post-crash medical data is consistent with a loss of consciousness moments before the fatal wreck, citing a 2018 study on seizure-related crashes, saying that her trajectory of traveling straight into a building without braking is characteristic of drivers who lose sudden consciousness. Well, the thing is she actually didn't technically drive straight into it. Right before she hit head on, she turned the wheel 142 degrees. And so that's why the passenger side got the brunt of the damage. Obviously, the driver's side did as well, but it didn't hit the brunt of the damage. The new defense team is also saying, remember, we said that we had Martin, the family friend of the Russos, who said he heard Mackenzie threaten to kill him in a car crash. Apparently, others had heard her say this as well. The new defense team is saying that they want to introduce newly discovered text messages, so now 3 years after the crash, that indicates that it wasn't Mackenzie who threatened to crash the car, it was Dominic. So I don't know what those are, where they came from, why nobody else has found them. That's what they're saying.
Yeah, whose they are, exactly. Right.
But Kathy, despite these efforts, Mackenzie's legal team has actually already faced significant setbacks in this effort because their appeal was rejected by the Cuyahoga County Court of Common Pleas because it was submitted 1 day past the statutory deadline. Why? That pesky little leap year thing.
You have to count things perfectly. And it took me one time feeling like such an idiot, like, oh my God, I forgot about Memorial Day or whatever. Like, you can't count that day.
I remember my sister had one recently where in her mind it was a certain day.
Yeah.
And by the grace of God, she double checked like 2 weeks prior and realized that she'd been a week off.
It
and
is
so she was
so,
able to get it in.
Yeah.
But yeah, I can't imagine that. Like, thank goodness she checked.
It's like, you think it's due on a Monday, you're filing it on a Friday. You think it's due on a Wednesday, you're filing it on a Monday. Like, I'm so paranoid now.
You have to be.
Yeah, you do have to be.
In addition to this little misstep,
Oopsie. Yeah,
exactly. After the 2024 conviction appeal was denied, one of Mackenzie's defense teams, I don't know if it was the original one or this new one, they appealed to the Ohio Supreme Court. And the Ohio Supreme Court said, nope, ruling stands. So they're facing a lot of uphill battles, but they're still fighting for it. Today, Mackenzie Shirilla is housed at an Ohio women's prison in Marysville, where she won't be eligible for parole until she is in her 30s. Okay, so for our YouTube friends and everyone listening on our audio, please don't forget that we have a Patreon channel and there is a 7-day free trial at the $10 level. You will get extra episodes, you will get bloopers, and you will get a recent video of us. We have a little segment we like to call You Asked, We Answered that failed when we tried to do it at the lake. So we'll be doing another one quickly and we'll get that up there too. But it's a lot of fun. You can listen to a lot of them in a week. We hope that you will actually continue to stay with us. But in the meantime, you could have a lot more to listen to.
Thanks for listening.